Visual learning, the dyslexic advantage. Today I wanted to talk about visual learning. Now this is something that I've kind of always known I've been good at. You'd kind of, I guess, say imagine, you know, using your imagination has always been a big strength, as myself and many dyslexics are. We're remarkably visual. So for me, trying to work out how to harness that for my benefit has always been challenging. You know, you go through school and they tell you what type of learner you are. And many dyslexics come out as what's called kinesthetic, you know, as a kinesthetic learner. So they learn by experiencing. Not as much auditory a little bit, but you know, the more they can visualize or feel like they've experienced something, the more likely you're going to learn. Now, the benefit of, as a dyslexic, what you can do is you can actually experience things without actually experiencing them. So your mind can be so vivid in the way it visualizes stuff, it can build actual experiences in without you having to move. Now, this can be your biggest plus and your biggest negative, because it can also generate experiences that aren't real and thus cause false impressions that affect reality. Hope that's not gone too deep. If you're listening in the morning. But what it can do also is you can use it for visual memories. So I've always struggled with quite large words, especially words that don't, or phrases that may not have a specific grounding in reality. So I think I've mentioned this before. I can see a table, I can touch a table, I know what a table is, a television, a window, a car. But when you say longer words like responsibility, very hard for me to grasp the meaning of it, let alone some new words that are quite big. And there was always a word I struggled with, which was amygdala. Now, I don't know if you've heard the word amygdala, but it's a section of your brain that you know, runs the whole fear, flight, and fight kind of reaction. And I can never remember that word. It just would not stick. It was like it would just come in one ear, it'd slip out the other. If people asked me what to pronounce it, I just had no clue. So I was taught a really great technique where you break it up individually into visual pieces. So what I did for amygdala, as you can imagine, is I picked, for me personally, it was apple. I then in my mind see a little plus sign, and I see a big fighter jet flying through the air. For duh, I see Homer Simpson saying duh, you know, do, you know, and then for la, I see a French man speaking. So that was mine. Now, there is no visual alphabet as such. It's whatever really connects with you. But from those visualizations and taking time to think over those a few times and play that story in my head, and I probably did it 5 to 10 times within about an hour of starting to do it. So just, you know, just very quickly, your mind can be very fast. But what that did is it's made that word stick in my mind. I've never had to try and remember what it is again. I literally just start picturing those areas, those images, and bang, I can roll it off. Now, what this also works for is phrases and learnings from audiobooks or podcasts. So I'll give you a good example. I'm listening to a great audiobook at the moment, and what I've noticed being dyslexic, I'm not sure if this is the same for you, but you can sometimes listen to a book and really love it, and occasionally you'll remember a story or two or a concept or two if you're lucky, but a lot of the time you feel like a 4 or 5 hour audiobook you might grab two concepts out of, which can be very frustrating because it just feels like the information's not sticking long term. Now, sometimes you write notes and maybe that helps, but half the time they never get read and they just disappear into the netherland. The things that usually stick are the things that really jump out at you and you use quickly. Maybe you use them in a situation with a friend. Maybe you tell a story to someone else and that helps it stick. Now, the way I've started doing it using visual recollection is I'll listen to 10 minutes of an audiobook in the morning. And my goal is only to pick out 1 to 2 things of that 10 minutes. That's my only goal. Everything else is lovely, but I want 2 things. So today, one of the things that jumped out at me in this book I'm reading, it's all about practical Buddhism. that we're working on for the new dyslexia course. And one of the things that really stood out to me is around appreciation without judgment. So they get used a great example of how can you start to appreciate things without judging them? So how can you appreciate the heat just for its warmth, its sharpness, its for what it is, not saying, hey, it's too hot, it's too, you know, it's too warm, and vice versa, cold. You know, how do you appreciate the rain when it's falling without layering judgment on it? And that was something I wanted to remember. I was like, hey, that's actually really good. That's really going to help me be a bit more aware in certain situations. And the temperature's a great kind of thought process, like weather, to help bring it up repeatedly in my experiences. So what I did is, in my mind, I went, how can I remember this visually? And what came to mind was I saw for some reason, it's a girl in my mind. She had brown hair. She's standing in the rain. I don't know why I foresee this as a girl, no idea. But our visual minds are creative things. And there's just rain pouring on her head, but she's smiling. She's got a big, big smile. A little ponytail, but she's got a big smile while it's raining, just with her hands out, appreciating the rain. And then what I have next to her is I see a judge holding a gavel. You know, those things they hit to say a judgment, and there's a big red cross through the judge. So for me, that is appreciation without judgment. Now, it's not a perfect fit, but for me, it triggers that kind of phrase. Excuse me. It triggers that kind of phrase and helps me really connect with it. And that's what we're all about, is how do we connect with it better? How do we get that to really stick? So I call this visual learning. I'm sure there are other names for it, but for me, it's really started to work with key concepts and like even more than individual words, because to be honest, there's not many that pop up in real life. Occasionally, with this Buddhist thing, there are some interesting words that exist, like red oak and other stuff. But I use it for that, but also for concepts. It's very important that when you are listening to things, you're better to go slower and build a small piece into your identity, then rush through a book and not take it in, especially if you're trying to learn from it. If it's just a bit of fun, doesn't really matter. But if you're wanting to build it in, this technique will be a game changer for you. If you're not already using it, you will really start to see it, you know, just make your life that little bit better. Well, I hope you've enjoyed that. That's the podcast from Truth About Dyslexia for this week. If you've got any questions, send it to us on Anchor. Check out truthaboutdyslexia.com. And yeah, I'd love to hear any feedback. Have a great rest of your day.